The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
Since it's Metzoy Shushan Purim, I've decided that tonight it would be appropriate if we discuss some of the Megillus Esther. So I hope you will forgive me if we will not speak of the Seder, but rather the Megillus Esther. And a few notes, a few observations on the Megillah. The Megillah tells us, Vayibi me Achashverish, it was during the time of Achashverish, who Achashverish ha-meleich me-haidu v'ad Kush. This was the Achashverish who reigned from Hodu ad Kush, Sheva ve-esrim u-mei medino. 127 states. Rashi brings Melech Poras Hoyosh, Shemolech Tachas Kerish. He was the Melech of Poras, Melech of the king of the ancient empire of Persia. And the empire, the Persian empire, was one of the four empires that the sages tell us which ruled over the entire world. And he became the king after Kadesh. Kadesh was Cyrus the Great. And Lesev Shivim Shono Shel Golus Bovel. Klal Yisrael were the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed. The first Beis Hamikdash was destroyed by Nebuchadnezzar Melech Bovel. Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Bovel. And Israel went into Golus, the Babylonian Golus. And then Nebuchadnezzar was defeated by Kadesh, by Cyrus, by the Persian Empire. And from there, Israel went into a second Golus. And this was in Mordechai Poras. And this is why the Megillah tells us that Mordechai and Esther came to Shushan Abira. First they were in Bovel, Babylonia. Babylonia today is in the area of Iraq. And then from there, they were further exiled to Shushan. Shushan is the area of Iran. And the Gemara tells us in Masechta Megillah the rabbis learned, this is a Megillah Daf Yud Aleph, that there were three kings that reigned over the entire world. Under the entire heavens they reigned. And one was Achashverosh, Ve'elohein, Achav, Achashverosh, and Nebuchadnezzar. So Achashverosh was a very, very mighty king. And then the Gemara tells us that, as Rashi brings, that the Megillah takes place at the end of the 70 years. They were exiled, and the prophecy was that they would remain in exile for 70 years, and then return to Eretz Yisrael to rebuild the second Beis Hamikdash. When the end of the 70 years came, and it didn't seem that they returned yet to Eretz Yisrael, so then, Achashverosh made a calculation. And this is what it says, Bayomim Ahem Keshevas Amelach Achashverosh Al Kisei Malchusei. In those days when Achashverosh was sitting on his throne in Shushan Abira, Vishnash Lesh Lamolchei, the third year of his kingship. So the Gemara says, what does it mean, the third year? In the first year also he was sitting on his throne. So it said, the Gemara says, in the third year, Nishashvu Daito. Third year of his reign, he became confident that Klal Yisrael was not going to be returned to Israel, because he made a calculation and he counted and he figured that the 70 years had already passed, and since the prophecy was not fulfilled, so it would not be fulfilled anymore. Therefore, In the third year, when he was sitting on his throne with great confidence, he decided to make a great banquet. Then also it tells us Hamolech, that not he was the king, but he made himself into king. Hamelech me'atzmai. He himself was not from royal blood. His wife Vashti was. Vashti, the sages tell us, was the granddaughter of Nebuchadnezzar. So she was the granddaughter. So she came from very royal blood. But he himself was not. And therefore it says Hamolech, where he made himself king. He was not naturally a king, and he did not inherit the kingship. He made himself this great banquet. To show the great kovet, the great honor of his kingship, and the great beauty of what he had. What was this? What was the great honor and the great beauty? So the Megillah here uses the word kovet and tiferes. The Gemara learns from here these same words, kovet, lekovet ultiferes, is used, actually it was last week's Sedra, that when we were commanded to make begodim, garments, for the Kohen Godel, so they shall be for the Kohen Godel and the other Kahanim, lekovet ultiferes, of great honor and great beauty. Nebuchadnezzar, when he destroyed the Beis Hamikdash, he carried away with him all of the precious vessels and the precious garments of the Kohanim. When Ahasuerus now took over from Nebuchadnezzar, so he usurped this. And now he became the owner of these vessels and these garments. He was afraid, though, ever to touch them. But now that the 70 years were up and he saw that Israel was not being returned to the land yet, and he thought they were a forgotten nation. So he made a great banquet to show the kovet, the kveid malchusei, v'shekor teferes gedulosei. He put on the big day kain godel, he put on the garments of the kain godel, and he used the vessels of the Beis Hamikdash, and this was the great banquet that he made. And this was to bring his downfall. A little later, the Gemara in Shushan, he invited all of the Jews to come. A little later, the Gemara brings that Shoalu as Talmidim Reb Shimon ben Yochai. That the Talmidim asked Reb Shimon ben Yochai, what Aveira did Klal Yisrael do that came upon them the possibility of such Cholila, such a Holocaust? So the Talmidim said, Reb Shimon ben Yochai said, ask the Talmidim, what do you think? So they thought that the great sin was that all of the Jews came to Shushan and they were Nanem Isudosei Shalai Sarosha. And they took part in the great feast, the great banquet of this Rosha. So on that, Reb Shimon told his Talmidim, if that would be the case, then only the Jews in Shushan should have been destined, sentenced to death. But why all the Jews of the world? So he answered, he gave a different answer. In the time of Nebuchadnezzar, they bowed to the idols of the Babylonians. This is what brought to them such a decree which we find. And then the Gemara goes further. So why, if they did such a thing, and this is idolatry, why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu forgive them? So on this, Reb Shimon answers, because they really didn't serve other gods. They believed in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They did this only mipnei yira, only because they had fear from the Babylonians. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu reacted in the same manner. When he came to save them, he also did not open, just like when they held their loyalty to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it was not revealed to others. The same when HaKadosh Baruch Hu came to save them, It was not revealed to the world. It was a nes nista. This was something which was concealed, completely hidden from everyone. Then the Megillah also tells us here, Hu Achashverosh, Vayhi b'mei Achashverosh, it was during the days of Achashverosh, Hu Achashverosh, this is Achashverosh. So the Gemara asks, what does it mean? What does it mean? In the days of Achashverosh, he is the Achashverosh. When one reads the Megillah, he might think that Achashverosh was a fine fellow. Haman. Because Haman was the enemy of the Jews. But Achashverosh himself was an easy-going, fine person. And the Megillah is written in such a way because Esther and Mordecai wrote the Megillah while they were under the sovereignty of Achashverosh. So it had to be written in such a way. The Gemara tells us who Achashverosh, this is what it's meaning to say. During the days of Achashverosh, and this is the Achashverosh, Rosho mitchilosei ad seif, who was wicked in the beginning and he was wicked in the end. And after all, he collaborated with Haman. He was willing to give Haman the authority to kill an Umma Shlema, to kill a nation, which a complete nation found all over the world. And he was a Rosho, so we must not have any misgivings on this. Vashti also made, his wife also made a great banquet for the women. And then, Vayemashvi Ketev Leva Melech Hayoin, the seventh day, when the king now was rejoicing and he was in good spirits from his wine, Omar Lemohuman Bizazor Havaino, he said to his council, that Vashti should come, should be brought with the royal crown, to show the ministers of all of the nations her beauty. So the Gemara relates that what was going on, the Kazdim, those who came from the ministers of Kazdim, they said that our wives, our queens are the most beautiful. Babloim, those who came from Babylonia, said that our wives are the most beautiful. Achashverosh said, no, mine is the most beautiful. She's not a Persian. And then they said, bring her. Let us look at her. Let us gaze at her. So he sent a note to Vashti that she should come. And Vashti wrote back that you're a drunken fool. I'm the queen. This was the queen of an entire world. You want to bring me in front of drunkards? This is how you treat the queen of the world. And she wrote to him that my grandfather Nebuchadnezzar, 1,000 barrels of wine he could drink. And he wouldn't get drunk to the degree that you are after you drink one barrel. And this is why Chamosai Boarevo Me'aid became very, very angry. And she felt that she had come from such royal blood and she was more royal than he was. And she refused. And the Gemara says, what does it mean that on the seventh day Ketev Leva Melech Bayoin? Not in the first day, in the second day. It took them 7 days to get drunk. So the Gemara says that here, the Megillah is drawing a distinction between Klal Yisrael and Achashverosh, and the Goyim. Yom HaShabbos Hayo. It was Shabbos. That's what it means by Yom HaShvi, on the seventh day. And we have a Klal, a principle, Nichnas Yain V'yotza Seyne, that when Yain enters into the heart of a person, then the secrets of the heart go out. And the fact is, the numerical value of Yain is 70. And the numerical value of Sod, of secret, is 70. And Yain, wine, is something which the Torah always has the greatest admiration for. Comes to make Kiddush, we make Kiddush on wine. Comes to Pesach, 4 cups of wine. And Yain itself also is, which is the numerical value of Shivim of 70, this is equal to a person's life, 70 years. And the wine is a fruit that gives off its flavor, which comes from the concealed depths of the grape. If you take grape and you merely squeeze it, you won't get wine. But there's a fermentation process that brings out the flavor, brings out the power from the depths of the fruit. And therefore it has a power also to bring the depths of an individual out from himself. And this is what is meant, Nichnas Yain Yotzo Seid. Person drinks wine, the inner secrets will come out from him. It will reveal the innermost parts of the person. So the Gemara says, depends what the innermost part of the person is. When we're dealing with such people like Ahasuerus, or we're dealing with all of the ministers of the great nations, so after they drank wine and the sod came out, what was their interest? Their interest was, who had the most beautiful queen? My queen was the most beautiful. Your queen was the most beautiful. Bring Vashti. Let us look at her. This was their interest, because their source is a source of tumah, of impurity, of immorality. And therefore, when a goy drinks, this is what happens. It says, what by a Jew? The Yemashvi on Shabbos, a Jew drinks. What does he do? He goes, Vanis Filosi Locha Hashem. He goes and he davens, and he says, Tfilais and Zmirais Ta'akorish Borku. It's bringing out the innermost part, the neshama of a Jew. By a goy, the deeper you go down, you come to greater sources of tumah. By a Jew, the deeper you go, you come to greater sources of tahara, of purity. So this is what the Gemara says that this pasuk is teaching us. That by Yom HaShvi, on the seventh day, on Shabbos, when Jews drink, let us see what they did when they drank. And they said, Lohovi yes Vashti, bring Vashti. And what did it bring? It brought about where eventually he had to kill Vashti. Shvihas Domin brought them to murder. Then the Megillah continues that after a while, After they decided that Vashti must be put to death, and then Ahasuerus missed her, and then they decided, they gave him counsel that he should go and look for a new queen. And the young girl that will be beautiful in the eyes of the king, she will become the queen. Ish Yehudi hoye b'shushan abira, u'shmoy Mordechai ben Yoye ben Shimi ben Kishi Shemini. There was a Jew in Shushan, and his name was Mordechai. Ish Shemini, he came from Shevet Binyamin. Asher hoglo mi Yerushalayim, im ha'goylo asher hoglo so im yechon yomelech Yehuda, asher heglo Nebuchadnezzar melech Babel. Originally he was from Yerushalayim. And as we'll see later, he was a member, he was a great Talmud Chochem, he was the Godel Hador from the greatest of the generation. And he was a member of the Sanhedrin, of the great Supreme Court. He went into Golus because of Nebuchadnezzar. And then from Babel, he went into a second Golus, a second exile to Shushan. And he had a daughter of his uncle, whose name was Hadassah, and she was called Esther. She had two names, Hadassah and Esther. And she was a Yesoma, she was an orphan, Ein lo ove aim. Panari Yafas Teir Vitevis Marea.
She was very beautiful. And when her father and mother died, Mordechai took her as a daughter. So Rashi brings the Gemara Darshan's Al Tikre Bas El Bayis. Mordechai took her as a wife. She was the wife of Mordechai. Vayhi Bishoma Dvar HaMelech V'dosoi. And when the king's edict came about, that he was gathering up all of the beautiful women of the world. Vatilokach Esther El Beis HaMelech. And Esther was taken. He concealed her, he tried to hide her. He didn't want her to go there. But Batilokach, she was taken by force to the house of the king, Shemar Anoshim, where she was placed with all of the other women. And immediately they saw her beauty, and they saw her kindness, her loving kindness. They did for her what they wouldn't do for others. Esther would not tell what nation she was from and what family she was from, because Mordechai commanded her not to tell. And we find all the way through that Esther never told Ahasuerus where she's from. After Ahasuerus decided to take her as the queen, like we see a little later, it says, "Vatilokach Esther al Hamelach Ahasuerus al Beis Malchus b'Chedish La'asir b'Chedish Tis in the 10th month of Tevis, 10th month of his reign." Esther was taken to his house. Vayar Hamelach es Esther mikol anoshi, and the king loved Esther more than all of the women. Vatiso chen v'chesed lefonim mikol apsules. And she found more grace and kindness in his eyes than any of the others. Vayosem keser malchus bereishe v'yamlichel tachas Vashti. And he placed the crown on her head, and he made her queen instead of Vashti. And then he made a great party. And then he gave off everyone taxes. And he did many things. And the Gemara tells us why. Because Esther wouldn't tell him where she's from. He would ask, she wouldn't say. So he thought that he would try to impress her. He'll make parties for her. He'll give taxes off. He'll give her great gifts. Still, she would never say. Later on in the Megillah, when Esther came and told Ahasuerus that she wants he and Haman to come to a party that she's making, and they came, and then he asked, "What can I do for you? What do you want?" And she said, "If you'll come tomorrow again to another party, and then I will do what you're asking from me." When he came to the second party, there was the first time that Esther revealed where she was from, what she is. She's a Jew, a Jewess, and where she comes from. And there it states, at the second party, it says, "Vayome Amelech Ahasuerus, Vayemel Esther Amalko." That the king Ahasuerus said, and he said to Esther Amalko. So the Gemara asks, why does it write twice he said? The king said, and he said to Esther Amalko. Because till now, see, this man was such a powerful king. He was a king, Misefa Elam Atsefa, from one end of the world to the other. And we don't have such concept in such royalty. Ahasuerus would never speak. He would never speak to a common person. He would ever speak, it was always would be through a minister. And he never spoke directly to Esther. Only now, and that's why it states Vayemer twice, he spoke twice that he spoke directly to her. And why? Because she revealed where is she from. Esther herself came from great Malchus. She came from the tribe of Binyamin, and she was a direct descendant to Shaul HaMelech, to King Saul. King Saul was the first king of Israel, was a great and mighty king. And this was the reason why Mordechai commanded that she should not tell. Because Mordechai was hoping that the king would send her away. And he knew that Ahasuerus himself didn't have royal blood. And he was looking for some royalty. And if he would find out that she's a descendant from Shaul, then certainly he would keep her. So therefore he commanded that you must never tell. So it was only here now that she had to reveal to... And Haman never knew this. See, if Haman knew that she was from Shaul and she was a Jewess, so then he would have had to make a different strategy. Only now she had to reveal to Ahasuerus that she's Jewish, therefore she revealed who she's from, and now the king spoke directly to her. The Gemara writes that Esther had a great quality of tzniut, a great quality of modesty, because she was able for so long to conceal this from Ahasuerus. It would have been very simple for her to tell him where she's from. And you could imagine that if she would have revealed this, he would have heaped even greater honors and wealth upon her. But she had this great power of secrecy and of modesty. And what she, it says, Maima Mordechai, that she would keep the command of Mordechai. The Gemara says, Rachel, the wife of Yaakov, also was a great snua. Was very modest, very private. And because of this, she had a descendant, Shaul. King Saul was her descendant, because Rachel had two sons, Yosef and Binyamin, and Shaul came from Binyamin. And we find that Shaul also was very secret and private. Zocha v'yotze v'meno Esther. This is the reason why Esther came from him. What was the great tznius that we find in Rachel? Because when Yaakov came and he wanted to marry Rachel, so Rachel said that my father is a Ramai. My father is a swindler. He'll fraud you. If you want me, he'll give you Leah. So he gave to Rachel a sim and a sign. They made up a sign between them in order that he couldn't defraud them. And then that night, instead of giving Rachel to Yaakov, he gave Leah. And Rachel knew that it will be a very great embarrassment when Yaakov will find this out. So she gave over the simonim to Leah, and she didn't tell Yaakov that he is giving you Leah instead of Rachel. This was the great sneos in Rachel. And then the Gemara brings the same thing with Shaul. So it was through this that Esther came from them. Now we mentioned that Esther had two names, Esther and Hadassah. The Gemara goes into this. The Gemara says, and Daf Yud Gimel, Vayhi Aymin es Hadassah, Kori lo Hadassah, Vekori lo Esther, Tanya Remeya Aymer, Esther Shema. Remeya says, Esther was her name. Veloma Nikro Shema Hadassah. Really, her name was Esther. Why was she called Hadassah? Al Shem HaTzadikim. Because of the righteous. She Nikru Hadassi. The righteous are called Hadassi. Vecheinu Aymer, Vu Aymer Ben Hadassi. So her real name was Esther, but she was called Hadassah. We find also the Hadassah, the Gemara tells us, is made also with great snius. What is the simon? What is the sign of the Hadassah, the Gemara says? The Hadassah is what we use, that's the myrtle plant that we use in the Luluf. It says, describes the myrtle plant, it's a plant which the leaves completely cover the wood of the plant. And if you look at the myrtle plant, you'll see that the leaves completely cover it. So the Hadassah itself is something which is very concealed, very private. And this was the name of Esther. Rabbi Yehuda Eimer Hadassah Shema, V'loma Nikro Shema Esther, Al Shem Sho Yisra Masteres Dvorecho, Shinem Arein Esther Mageres Es Amo. Yehuda says that really Hadassah was her real name. Why was she called Esther? Because she was Masteres Dvorecho, because she concealed her words, as it states that she would not tell what nation she came from. So we see both of these names refer to this, because Esther comes from the word Seser. Seser means secret. Reb Nechemiah Yomer Hadassah Shema Veloma Nikreis Esther Shoya Umas Eilam Kainan Eisai Al Shum Estacher. Reb Nechemiah said that Hadassah was her name. Why was she called Esther? Because the nations of the world called her Esther because of the word Estayer. Estayer refers to the moon, or to the stars. And she was so beautiful, they gave her the name Esther. Benazai Yomer Esther Learucha Velei Ktsora Hoyso. Ela Beinan is Kahadasa. Benazai says that she was not tall, too tall, she was not too short. She was of medium height. And this is why she was called Hadassah, because the Hadassah is a plant which is not too long and not too short. It's medium. Abishua ben Korcha Emer, Esther Yerak Reikis Hoiso. Really, Esther was of a greenish color. She was an olive color. V'chut shel chesed moshu choleho. And the Megillah tells us that Kodesh Baruch Hu placed a chut shel chesed, a thread of loving kindliness on her face that endeared her to all. Now, what does it mean that she was of this greenish color? And Rashi brings, this is his interpretation why she was called Hadassah, because Hadassah is a greenish plant, and she also was this greenish color. Now, what does it mean she was this greenish color? Now, later on, the Gemara brings, and Daf Tes Vov, the Gemara says, this is the Gemara Masechet Megillah. The Gemara says, Arba Noshim Toner Rabbonan, Arba Noshim Yefifio Ishoye Ba'ilam. There were four beautiful women in the creation. Four women of such perfection that their beauty stands out in all of creation. Sora, Rochav, Abigail, and Esther. These were the four women in creation that their beauty stands out. Tosfos asks, why doesn't it mention Chava? Because the Gemara says that Chava was so beautiful that Sora was no comparison to her. So why doesn't it mention Chava? So Tosfos says, Deleichoshev ela eisena neledes miisho. Because Chava is a different category. Chava was made by HaKadosh Baruch Hu's hands himself. See? Kodesh Baruch Hu molded man, Adam, and Chava. So they were perfect. And the Gemara here is only speaking about those that were born naturally. So Chava was a different league. Something different altogether. But from those who were born naturally, the four most beautiful women in the world, of all of creation, was Sora, Abigail, Rochav, and Esther. Then the Gemara says, "Leman diyomer Esther yerak reikis hoyiso." According to the one that says Esther was of a greenish color, so we cannot count her amongst the most beautiful women of creation. Mapik Esther umayel Vashti. So then, it's not Esther, but it's the fifth one, and that's Vashti. So Vashti was someone of very, very great beauty. I mean, we're speaking here of all of creation. There's a few questions here. It's difficult to say that Esther was not beautiful, because it says Anara Yefas Teir Yefas Mara. We just read that the young lass, she was of great beauty. And secondly, we have here such a discussion from one extreme to the other. Here, according to one opinion, she was of the most beautiful women of creation, and according to the other opinion, she was of a greenish color, and this is why she was called Hadassah. How could it be from such two extremes? So the Maral writes, he explains something here with great insight. For Esther to become the wife of Ahasuerus, she had to become the queen of the entire world. And this is not something that merely can happen by coincidence. to become a king of an entire world is preordained. It's of a tremendous chus. In fact, when Esther was going to see Achashverosh, and she said, Keli, Keli, lama azavtani, Kodesh Baruch Hu, why have you forsaken me? When she was fasting the 3 days, and she was wondering, what did she do that Kodesh Baruch Hu forsook her? So the Gemara says, she referred to Achashverosh as a kelev, as a dog. So she thought, maybe that was her Avera. Because it's true that Achashverosh was a Rosha, a wicked person. But from the fact that the entire world that Kodesh Baruch Hu placed in his hands, so you cannot refer to such a being as a dog, because a dog is one of the most of the insignificant creations. So she said, therefore she retracted it. And instead of saying that he's a wild dog, she called him a wild lion. So that's something that was more befitting, because a lion is a king. A lion is from the greatest of the animals. So for Esther to become the queen of 127 Medinas, she also had to be befitting of this. And there's a Medrash that tells us that Sarah Imenu, Sarah, the wife of Abraham, lived, the Torah tells us, 127 years. It says that in the Schus that she lived 127 years, she had a granddaughter, a descendant that would reign over 127 Medinas. And what is meant by that? Sarah also was a great queen. She had also two names. Torah says her name was Yizkor and Sarah. And the sages tell us both of these words mean that of a queen. Sichus and Sarah from the word Srora. And she also was a queen. Abraham was a king. Av Hamein Gaim. Abraham was the father and the king of a multitude of nations. It says, Emek HaMelech, that all of the nations gathered together and they made Abraham the king. And Sarah was a queen of the world. So the sages want to know, where did Esther get this power to become a queen of the entire world? The 127 Medinas that she became a queen over, the source of this goes back to Sarah that lived 127 years. Now, to become a queen over an entire world is very difficult, because a nation must identify with their king. It must be a very close identity between the king and his nation, because the king is the leader of the nation. To become a king or a queen over all of the nations of the world is very difficult, because each nation is different. How can one person identify with so many? And she became a queen that was very accepted on all of the people. The Gemara says that each nation, Nidmelei, each nation identified with her. Each nation felt that she's of their blood. Each nation in the world felt, this is someone from our people. They all were able to identify with her. So therefore the Maral says that she had to be someone that everyone could identify with. And therefore one says that she was like the Hadassah. She wasn't too tall, she wasn't too short. She was moderate. And then the other one says she was Yerak Rikus. She was of a greenish and olive tint. Because the peoples of the world, they're all different colors. The most neutral color that we have is that of green. If you'll mix colors, you'll find out that the greenish tint is that of a very neutral color. It's the Mamutza. Kodesh Baruch Hu had made her where she was of such a creation where everyone could identify with her. Therefore, this mandiyama, this opinion is that why was she called Hadassah? She was called Hadassah because she was of a greenish color, an olive color. And this was because she was to become a queen over the entire world, and every nation had to identify with her. This is why she was called Hadassah. But it doesn't mean to say that she was not beautiful. She was of extreme beauty. Except when we speak of the most beautiful women of the universe, of creation, so there the Gemara says that if you say that she had this greenish tint, then she wouldn't be classified as the foremost beautiful of creation. But nevertheless, she was someone who was of extreme beauty. And that's why it says, Vatisa chein v'chesed, that there was a thread of kindliness about her, and this attracted everyone to her. So this was Esther.
Did you say that she was Mordecai's wife or Mordecai's gender?
No, she was. She was a relation to Mordecai. I think it was a grand niece. And then Mordecai took her as a wife.
Surely that was
adulterous
if she became
a wife of the king. Yes, it was. The Gemara, there's a whole discussion in the Gemara how she was allowed to do this. The Gemara says she was allowed to do it because she was forced. It was against her will and she was forced. But nevertheless, it was something, I mean, she was under no circumstances would she be allowed to do it willingly. But because she was forced, she was allowed to do it. And the Gemara goes into this whole discussion. Actually, when Mordechai went to her and said that you must go to the king immediately, so she said, I'll go v'kasher avadati avadati. I'll go. Actually, the Gemara says that she was the wife of Ahasuerus. The fact is, it seems from the sages that she even had a child by Ahasuerus. But there was, later on we find there was Daryovash or Achrain. Darius, there were two Dariuses. There was Daryovash, Darius Harishan, the first Darius and the last Darius. Now the first Darius, Daryovash, was before Kadesh, before Cyrus. And then, there was a Darius who lived after Ahasuerus, and he was the one who permitted the Jews to go back to Eretz Yisrael and start building the Beis HaMikdash. So in Midrashim it's written that this Darius was the son of Esther, and this is why, from Ahasuerus, and this is why he permitted the Jews to go back. So she even had a son from him. But the Gemara says that she used to live with Ahasuerus, and then she would be Tevela, she would go to the mikveh, and then go secretly to Mordechai. And this, according to the law, was permissible because she was being forced by Ahasuerus. But then, when Mordechai came to her and said, you must go immediately to the king. And she said that if I go this time, it will be willfully. Because I never went to the king unless he called me, he commanded me. And the command from such a king, you must listen to it, otherwise it's death immediately. But she said, this time if I go without him calling me, it will be willful. So she said, Kasher avadati avadati, that just like I have been lost to my family's home, I will be lost from you also. Because if she'll go willfully to the king, then she will not be able to return again to Mordechai. But she went, and the Gemara says, the Rishonim say, why? Because it was permissible, because all of Israel was in danger. Because of all of Israel was in danger, it was permissible. What happened? I don't know. We don't know what happened. If anything took place then or not, if she ever was able to go back to Mordechai or not, this is not clear. But at least this is what she had said. One of the episodes that brought the Geula, that brought the redemption to Klal Yisrael, was Bayomi Mahemu Mordechai Yeshev B'Shar HaMelech, that it was in those days that Mordechai was sitting at the gates of the king. Kotzav Bikson V'Serish Neisri Se HaMelech Mishem Min Asaf, Bikson and Serish, two of the servants of the kings, became very angry. Vayivakshu Lishleach Yod B'Melech HaChashverish, and they wanted to poison the king. Vayivoda Adova L'Mordechai, Mordechai heard what they were saying, Vayage Lester Amalko, and he told Esther, Vatem Esther Lamela Beshe Mordechai. And Esther went and told the king in the name of Mordechai. Vaybukish Adov Vaymotse, and they investigated, and they found it was true, and they hung these two people on the tree, and this was written down in the chronicles before the king. Now, how did Mordechai know? Because they were plotting to kill the king, so why did they speak in front of Mordechai? So the Chazal say, because they were Tursim. Tursim, maybe that means Turkish, I don't know. But they were Tursim. It was one of the nations. And it was a language that the Jews didn't understand. Mordechai, Yehudi, Mordechai was a Jew, so they didn't worry about it. They spoke freely, because it was a language that Jews didn't understand. But they didn't realize that Mordechai was from the Sanhedrin Agdela. Mordechai was from the great Sanhedrin. And one of the laws is that a member of the great Sanhedrin should know all of the 70 languages in the world. In order that whenever a case is presented to him, he can hear it directly from the plaintiffs. He doesn't have to hear it through interpreters. So Mordechai heard and understood what they were saying, and he immediately reported it to Esther. Esther reported it to the king in the name of Mordechai. Now we find that this was the Ischalta de Gula, this was the beginning of the redemption, because Benodad Oshnas HaMelech, the king couldn't sleep, and he commanded that they should bring the Divrei Hayomim, they should bring... And he heard what Mordechai did, because it was written there that this was through Mordechai Yehudi that he was saved. And he said, was he ever repaid for this? And they said, no. And then Haman came in. And meanwhile, why did Haman come in? He said, Haman came in now to get permission from the king to hang Mordechai Yehudi. Now, had this not been written in the account, in the book, so the king readily would have agreed to Haman hang him. And Mordechai would have been hung, Cholilah. So, before Haman had a chance to ask for this, he had already built the gallows. So the king said, what do you do to a person who has done such a thing? And Haman came with his etzer. So the king said, Maru, immediately go and get Mordechai Yehudi tomorrow and take him through the streets in the king's in the royal garments. So no longer now could Haman ask for Mordechai's death. So this was the Ischalta de Geula. So if we trace it back, we find out that what brought about this geula? The fact that Esther told this to Ahasuerus b'shem Mordechai, in the name of Mordechai. Had Esther told this to Ahasuerus in her own name, then it wouldn't have been written that Mordechai did this. And when Haman would have asked, give me the life of Mordechai, the king would have said yes, and would have been finished. So it's because of this that the Gemara brings this out in the Mishnah Masecht Ovis. The Mishnah Ovis writes, Perek Shishi, it's Mishnah Zayin, Va'aymedove b'shem aymrei, that here it's writing the qualities of a Talmud. See? What are the qualities? If you want to become a Talmud Chochem, a Talmud in Teira, what are the qualities? So it brings Memches Devorim, that there are 48 qualities that a person has to have if he wants to be successful in learning Torah. So the last one that's mentioned is Va'emedover b'shem Emrei, that whenever you say something over in Torah, you must always say it over in the name of the one who said it. This we always see from the Gemara. Omar of Chizda, Omar of Yehuda, Omar Rav. The Yehuda said in the name of Rav. See, always someone is saying something in the name of the person who said it. You hear something from a great Talmud Chochem, you must write, say it over in his name. Or if you hear something from a Chaver, or from a Talmud, you must say it over. So it says, you must always say something over in the one name of the person who said it. And Holamadatu, we learn that not only is this a quality in learning, but Shekol Ha'emet Dover B'Shem Aimrei, whoever says something over in the name of the one who has said it, maybe Gul Alaylam, can bring redemption to the entire world. Because Esther said it over to the king in the name of Mordechai, and it was because of this it was written down, and because of this Haman couldn't hang Mordechai, and this was the Ischalta de Geula. So the Maral in his commentary asks two questions. Why? What is the relation? Just because you say something over in the name of the person, it's very good, it's very nice, you should say something over in the name of the person who said it, but why? Why through this can you bring geula, can you bring redemption to the world? And secondly, this principle, why is it chosen that we should learn it out here? There are many places that the Torah could have taught us this. Why is it taught to us here? So he says something which is very, very, very good insight. He says, usually when a person is victorious, the Kodesh Baruch Hu helps a person, and he's victorious, what is the human nature? He says, Eitzim Yodai, my strength has done it. The person has a business success. So what does he feel immediately? Not that a Kodesh Baruch Hu helped him. He feels, I'm a good businessman. I'm a good businessman. See? I have a good head, and I made a good calculation. I played the market right. The next day, no. So you made a mistake, see? But he doesn't say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in the Torah where it tells us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that I'm going to bring you into Eretz Yisrael and you're going to have everything good and you'll build great homes, beautiful homes, and you'll have gold and silver. V'rom levalcho. Then you'll feel arrogant. You'll feel haughty. V'shochachto. You'll forget HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And you'll forget that you'll say that Keichi ve'eitzim yodai. Ve'eitzim yodi. It's my strength. And it's my brilliance and intelligence. Also as Kol HaChayil Hazeh has made all of this great strength and wealth. And you'll forget that it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He is the one who gives you what you have. And there the Targum Unkelus writes that he is the one who gives you the Eitzah in your mind how to invest your money. This is what the Targum Yenison writes. The Targum Unkelus. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one who places the Eitzah, the counsel in your mind when you should buy and when you should sell and so forth. So this is human nature. Whenever a person has a victory and achievement, right away he relates it to himself. And he forgets that it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings miracles to the world, he wants that the people should know that he has brought it. And that's why he said that in Mitzrayim, in Egypt, he said, everyone will know, the man disappeared, everyone will know that I have brought these miracles. Because I'm going to bring great miracles and great nisim v'niflos. Now, if a person is chosen where through him a great miracle can come to the world, a great geula can come to the world, if this person is going to do it in a way where he will take the credit from it, and he'll take the credit away from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu will not bring a miracle through that individual. Because the purpose of HaKadosh Baruch Hu bringing miracles to the world is that we should recognize and we should thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So therefore, if a person hears a great chokhmah, hears a great wisdom, and he says it over, and he wants to take the credit for it. So then, this type of person is not the person that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will bring miracles through his hands. Esther, had she told the king this information from these two, and she had accredited to herself, she would have gained much greater prestige in the eyes of the king. She saved his life. And it's such a tyrant, it's such a world monarch. Instead, this was Esther. She was the tznua. She was very humble and very private. And she said, "Vateimar Esther lemelech b'shem Mordechai." She said, "It's not mine, it's for Mordechai." So Esther was the type that a miracle could come through her hands and we would realize it's not Esther, but it's coming from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So therefore, the Mishnah tells us that Kol Ha'emer Dover B'Shem Emrei, whoever says something and attributes it to the person it really belongs to, maybe Gula La'ilom, through him a Gula, a Hatzolah can come, because he will attribute it to the one that it really, really belongs to. Now the second question, why here? Why was it chosen that we should learn this right here? The answer is very good. Purim was different than all of the other Yom Tovim. Because on all the other Yom Tovim, we could see the miracle. Pesach, we certainly could see. We saw the splitting of the sea, Rosh Shivchal Alayam, that the maidservant saw on the sea what the greatest prophet saw. We saw the Makkos, the 10 plagues, everything else. On Shavuos, we saw the giving of the Torah. We saw HaKadosh Baruch Hu come with a cloud and the fire. In the Sukkos, we saw the great miracles of the desert. Even on Hanukkah, when you could attribute the victories to the warriors of the Maccabees, but still there was the great miracle of the Neros, the candle that the oil burned for 8 days. So through this we could see the Nes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So there's not that this the possibility of attributing it to one's own achievements is narrow. When it comes to Purim, though, Purim was the Nes Nista. Purim was the miracle was completely concealed. And this is why Esther was called Esther Al Shem Hastorah. Haster Aster Esponai. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that even when I am not a parent, still I will do miracles for you. And we do not find HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name mentioned once in the entire Megillah. So Purim was a miracle that would take great effort to accredit the miracle to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, Esther could have easily attributed the miracle to herself because of her influence with the king. What did she do? She went and she negotiated with the king. She intervened. She presented the case of the Jews to the king. So, it was simple. Because of her influence, and because of her persuasion, and because of her closeness, and because of her beauty, this is why the king said, recall all of the letters, or we'll send out other letters to cancel the first one. And then, we went to HaKadosh Baruch Hu at all. What did she do? After the king did that, she went to the Sanhedrin. She went to all of the Chachomim of the door. And she demanded. She demanded that the day be declared a Yom Tov. It says, the Gemara says, Gemara tells us that Esther was a Neviah. She was a prophetess. And it states, there were Mem Zayin Nevim, 47. I can just find it here. There were 48 Nevim, the 7 Nevi'os, and 7 prophetesses, Misnavu Lem Yisrael, that prophesied for Israel. And one of the 7 prophetesses was Esther. And not one of them ever added or took anything away from the Torah, except Esther. Chutz mi Mikra Megillah. Only Esther. After this took place, Esther went to the Sanhedrin. She demanded. She said that we must write all of this down. And we must make it part of the Kisvei Kodesh, part of the Tanakh. And the following year, it should be made a Yom Tov. So the Jews will remember what HaKadosh Baruch Hu did. And they granted her request. And the following year, she came again and she said, we must make it a Yom Tov Lederes. It should be a Yom Tov for all generations. So no one will ever forget what HaKadosh Baruch Hu did. So here Esther could have come and could have said, look at what I did. I intervened on behalf of the Jews, and through my persuasiveness and through my closeness with the king and my intelligence and my beauty, he granted permission for the Jews to be saved. And said immediately, she said, this was HaKadosh Baruch Hu's work. Even though it was impossible to see it. And the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't appear in the entire nation. So that's why here the Chazal tell us, here in particular, that we see that Esther had this quality from before. She was tested before already. Mordechai told her what happened. Right there she could have taken a credit for it, and she could have gained prestige in the eyes of the king. And had she done that, there would have been a gula, because Mordechai's name would not have been written in the Chronicles, and Haman then would have had the king's ear to destroy him. Right then she rose to her greatness, and she said over B'Shem Imre,
She said it over and she didn't want credit for it. This was Mordechai's. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu said that she is Ruya. Through her, she's befitting that the Geula should come through her hands. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave the Geula through her. And again, she went to the king, and she went to the Sanhedrin, and she had the entire Megillas Purim recorded in order that we should know it came from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In a place where it was impossible to see that it came from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore the Mishnah tells us that one of the qualities of being a Talmud is always to say, never to accredit to yourself something that doesn't belong to you. And always to say it over in the name of the one who said it. And not only that, but someone who does it is befitting to bring a geula to the world. And this is what we find here in the Megillah. We should be zeicher to, I hope everybody was zeicher to a joyous Purim, and we should be zeicher to more simchas by Klal Yisrael and geulas to Yisrael.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at P.O. Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.